victory won. In a world of Hennessy and guns, too young for the marches, but I remember these drums. The stark reality of wars and battles we fought for ours, caught in ghetto tragedy. I talked to my aunt named Maddie Lee and recognized the importance of family. Hand me a joint, good music and room to breathe. Those that doubt calm will soon believe. Can't judge the weed, my lady had one. I'm more like a fool for soul and passion. The price of gas rises, street life is pumping, fast lives is. I watch crash and realize that we all survivors. No religion or race could ever describe us. My guys do dirt, but never really talk about it. Forever begins just because I thought about it.
Hey, trying to raise a daughter, friend of Terrence.
I'm Andy Klein.
And sitting up today, we have Mr.
Romaine Walters.
And we got three guys on.
Tim Miller lives.
Listen, happy Thursday. You want to guess where we're going to be going in today's podcast by listening to this?
It's about to get real. It's a cold world, not never go numb. Look fear in the eyes, say I'm never going to run. It's about to get real. I know the cheddar go come, but now I write the world letters
to better the young on tree by jury. How y'all feeling today? You good? Everybody fine?
Doing all right. Yeah. All right. I'm going to see Brian Regan tonight. Well, last Saturday.
You saw him.
I saw him on Saturday.
You want to give a shout out to the people you went to go see last week? We didn't get to talk about it. May as well go ahead and get right into it and talk about it.
Yeah, the reason we didn't have a podcast last week is because I had a show and I have all the podcast equipment. So there's no way to do it without me. I was at Go Bananas in Cincinnati, Ohio. Shout out to Cam O'Connor, who hosted. Go Bananas, I'd never been there before. Great club. Fantastic club. Staff is great. Crowds are great. I got nothing but good things to say about Go Bananas. We weren't in Cincinnati. We were actually just outside of Cincinnati. It's a place called Montgomery. Because I've heard Cincinnati has a lot of racial tension.
Mm-hmm.
But there were only like four black people combined the entire week in the crowd. So I was going to like maybe find out from somebody, like, what's it like around here? But the crowds were pretty much all white. It's, you know, suburban. It's Midwest. But it was good. It was, we left on Wednesday night because we had the storm of the century coming the next day.
Yeah, right.
Drove for like 3 hours, hit the wall of snow, stopped at a hotel that had a swastika displayed on the front entrance.
No, it didn't.
Yeah, I should have taken a picture if I was more savvy.
How did you not take a picture of
that? Because the guy who owns it is Hindu. He's going old school with it.
Oh, it's a Hindu.
He's going
flipped the other way.
It wasn't flipped. Here's the thing. We got there that night. Like, you know, it was snowing.
He don't know? Or
well, it was snowing. We found a hotel. We pulled in. And we go in, it's like, you know, 10, 11 o'clock at night, maybe later. About 10 something. There was a fountain in the lobby, like this statue. And so the other comic I was with, Bent Washburn, great comic. He actually asked the two ladies at the front desk, hey, what's this pretty cool little statue thing, fountain thing? And they were like, oh, yeah, the owner of the hotel is a Hindu. That's kind of something he brought over from wherever. Didn't think much of it. Next day, we're leaving. And I'm standing there waiting for Ben to pull the car up, and I turn around to look at just the doorway, and above the doorway is a horseshoe. Underneath the horseshoe is a swastika with, like, it's like the ends are a little bit stylized, the ends of the little lines, mm-hmm. and then there's, like, Asian lettering in the middle. So I was like, oh, okay, this is the Hindu thing. But that's, I guess he's going old school. He's like, fuck, we're taking it back. Yeah. It's like the N-word.
it's a sign of, it's like a
good luck and
good luck.
Fortune.
It's good luck. It's like the horseshoe. Yeah. So had I been savvy with social media, I would have Instagrammed it. Like, hey guys, swastika to hotel, right? LOL. Hashtag something.
Hashtag Hitler yeah. youth.
But I just pointed out to Ben, I was like, hey, look, it's a swastika. And we looked at it for a second. I was like, oh, I guess it's the Hindu thing. Let's get in the car and just drove away. that was like eight likes on Instagram right there. I fucking missed out.
You would have closed his business down and told you that.
Yeah, yeah, I would have shamed him or something. Like, there's no place.
And the whole time he would have been like, hey, but in my religion, yeah, religion.
That's it. So
that is the shittiest Hindu accent I've ever heard. Yeah.
Oh, no, I wasn't even trying to. I was trying to like the high-pitched, I'm very scared, I'm lose everything voice. my livelihood.
Then we went to Cincinnati the next
month,
Thursday.
My livelihood, please.
And Cincinnati was cool. The people were cool. Nothing but good
all the
to
white
say
people, because there was no blacks.
Not many. At some point, I started checking.
Did the Hindu guy show up to the show?
No, the Hindu guy was in Maryland somewhere. No, he didn't show up. I don't know if there were any Hindu guys. not him or any other. No swastika displaying Hindu guys.
How long is the drive normally?
8 hours.
Okay. That's not bad.
It's not bad. It's doable. And yeah, it was a good club. It's like an A club. So the crowds are there for comedy. Good crowds.
Hmm.
There was, you know, a couple small crowds, but they're like good small crowds. And guest spots every night. They're very comic friendly. Comic works the doors, comics waiting tables. It's one of those places. So a lot of people move to Cincinnati from other cities in the Midwest. That's like their next move. I talked to a couple comics like, yeah, I'm from St. Louis. You know, I moved here. The guy that hosted was from Indianapolis. They all moved there. So, good scene. I hope to be back, if you're listening. Guy who books.
Guy who books.
Go Bananas in Cincinnati.
The guy who books. Yeah. I was in Easton, Maryland.
Avalon Theater. I'm there in May.
And then I was, the next night I did a private at a country club. And
Cashburn.
Yeah, in Cashburn. You got that right. The country club in Cashburn. You know you're in a money rich area when the bus stops have them little houses by them. Wow. You know those little houses by the bus stop.
Yeah.
People like an actual bus stop. It's not just a sign with nothing by it.
Yeah, it's a little enclosure with heated and all that.
They had those.
They got hors d'oeuvres.
Well, in Easton, there was we parked the car. Me and Jesse, we parked and we were walking in and there's a restaurant and they have like a deck, or not even a deck, like a patio where people go out and eat. There was a fireplace out there and the fire was lit up. And I was like, they got no homeless people in this town. That's what that tells me. They got no homeless people in this town. I said it on stage, I was like, you people, y'all got no homeless people here. Because that restaurant right across the street, there'd be a fucking camp outside that motherfucker. Right? People would be cooking up. People would be drying clothes over the fire. They'd be cooking up crack over the fire. They'd be make some hobo chili. Reheating beans, you know. That was nice. You're going to have a good time at the Avalon.
I don't know who I'm taking yet. I got to figure that out.
Yeah, you figure that out. Not Romaine.
Romaine.
Yeah, you got to figure that out. Jesse did 30 in front, real good. I did an hour.
Yeah.
I did exactly an hour because no one gave me the light, so I started my timer on my phone. I was looking. I was like, oh, shit. I got to get off.
All right, I'm done, guys. You know,
but they sent me a text at like a lot of clubs are doing this now. They sent me an email like at 5, and they were like, hey, we only have, or earlier in the afternoon, they were like, we only have about, it's a 66-seat room at $20 a head.
Right.
They said, we only have X amount of seats sold. Could you tweet out or do a push? I'm like, I don't know what you think.
Your Easton fan base?
Yeah. I'm like, I don't know what you think I can do. To control,
everything helps. It's all one person sees that.
Like, well, maybe that's what they think.
Yeah,
maybe that's what people think now, and I don't know why people think that.
But it wound up being full.
You know, but look, by the time at showtime, it was sold out.
Right.
So I guess
maybe it worked.
My Facebook blast worked.
They know. They know more than you.
It was sold out. And I said at the end, I was like, hey, if you guys like me, be sure to add. And they were like, oh, we want you to come back. You know, I was like, well, I can't come back for like 6 months or you're going to hear the exact same act. So
yeah,
give me 6 months to turn over a little bit, you know.
Nice.
You know, but they had a good time. And then the guy that was the manager was like, yeah, talk to the booking people, which I got to send an email shortly.
Yeah.
They were like, talk to the booking people, tell them, you know, because we want you to come back, blah, 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 blah. And then my camera, I went to videotape it, and I was for whatever reason the battery died.
It happens,
and I don't know why.
It happens.
And as soon as I saw the battery was dead, I said, I'm going to have a great set.
It's the curse of the camera. You never get those.
I'm going to have a great set.
You never get the great ones.
Yeah. I'm going to have a great set.
Go Bananas has, they have a camera. It's a rooftop comedy room. So rooftop has a camera there.
Mm-hmm.
And they have the crowd mic'd. So you can get the audio in three separate audio tracks from each show from them. They'll burn it to DVD for you. And I, when the guys say, yeah, we'll give you a DVD at the end of the week with all your shows, I'm thinking, oh, DVD, I'm, in my head it's video.
Yeah.
They meant just the audio tracks. If you want the video, you have to put the DVD in the burner and hit record before you go on. You can make a DVD yourself. No problem. I didn't know that until after Saturday Early Show, which was the one. You know what I mean? Like, that show was incredible. And so I was like, oh, we got that. That's a good video. It's going to be some good video. Because I left my camera back in my room. I brought my camera. I was like, why would they have a camera here? Oh, no, we don't do video unless... No, that, we just do your audio. I was like, fuck. But it turns out you can buy your set from Rooftop Comedy because they have it all at their headquarters, I guess. So I got to get it that
basement.
Way. So, yeah, so there's a backup basement. Plan. But I was like, shit, I had... Of course, the curse. The curse of the camera. Something doesn't work when you think it's going to work. That's the way it goes. Or you got that great heckler comeback that you're like, oh, heckler comebacks. They get like a million hits on YouTube.
Yeah.
Wasn't taping it. Had the perfect, you know, that happens all the time.
Yep.
And then when you do tape, some shit goes wrong. You say the bit always. Wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Someone yells out and interrupts it, you know.
Always. Or it's just a shit set.
Yeah.
You know, always.
You'll never watch the video of it, but you have it.
So I had a good time in Easton. Hopefully I'll be back there. Very rich, old, and white. Although it was an older black couple there, and there was a lot of young people there too.
Right,
it was a good show.
Right,
it was a good show. I had a good time there. So how was Ben? How was Ben to work? How was Ben to work with? I reached out to Ben. I was like, hey man, I'll come on the road with
Ben. Is like all of us. He's just trying to get like he's trying to work. He's like I don't know. I'm just trying to get gigs. Ben is great to work with though because he thinks about his act a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So we sat and talked comedy a lot, and both came up with lines and things for our act. It's like that classic, you got nothing else to do on the road.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go sit in the coffee shop for 5 hours
and
just hang out. And so it was one of those things, but he definitely puts a lot of thought into his act. So it was good to see that because I needed to see that. I needed to see someone who's working like that on his act because I'm like, oh, I should work harder. I rest on my laurels too much.
Yeah, I feel that same shit.
Yeah, so when you see someone doing it, like, oh, okay, yeah, that's I got to get back to that sometimes. But Ben's great. I mean, he's got so many different hours of material. Like every night he was doing different stuff. He used to do an hour a year. That was his thing. Mm. He would literally do an hour of material every year, a different one. I don't think he does that anymore, but he's got like DVDs and CDs. So he can pull anything the crowd needs. Married People, I got half hour on that. Thinkers, I've got a half hour on thoughtful stuff. You know, dick jokes, sure, I got it. So he's good to work with. He's real good to work with and good to hang out with, too, because you're in the car for 8 fucking hours.
Yeah, 8 hours riding.
Mm.
So,
because you see me riding for 8 hours.
Yeah. And Cam O'Connor, the host, was basically Chad Heft's doppelganger. Chad was on the podcast.
Chad, friend of the podcast, on the podcast.
He wasn't like Chad on stage or anything. Like they're different comedians.
Yeah.
But same height, same build.
Same build.
I'm telling you, man. Exact same
diabetes.
Same mannerisms, same diabetes. I don't know. He doesn't have, I don't think he has diabetes.
The diabetes.
Same mannerisms. I didn't even tell him this. I was going to tell Cam, but same vocal inflections when he's talking. I thought I was sitting next to Chad all weekend. It was so eerie. It was so similar. Because Chad is very distinct. Like, Chad is.
Oh, the dude is fucked.
When Chad laughs, like, you know, he'll clap and he'll laugh as his whole body. You know what I mean? Like, some people are more. This dude was doing the same, like, exact same. Like, if he really liked a joke, he would laugh the way Chad laughs. If he's talking about something off stage, he would emphasize the words the way Chad does. And Chad's one of my best friends in comedy. Like, I've known Chad since, like, 98. I'm like, holy shit. I like, 5 days later, I couldn't get over it. I was still like, this dude is just like Chad. I guess everyone has the dude, like, a couple dudes out there.
A doppelganger.
Who are like exactly like them in mannerisms and everything else. Again, comedy-wise, different.
They should meet, and maybe the world might explode.
I'm telling you, if they were in the same room, it would be weird as shit. Like, see these two dudes. It'd be like, you know, when a dog's in front of a mirror. and doesn't know what's going on with the other dog in front of him. Like, he's just confused.
Maybe they're not supposed to meet. That's like, you know, like time paradoxes and shit. Like, yeah, that's where that, like, the world explodes and we just don't exist anymore.
He's the Midwest Chad. He's the Cincinnati Chad.
Have you done that to your dog? Put a mirror in front of him? Just see what it is.
Hilarious.
He's been in front of mirrors. And here's the weird thing. My dog has seen mirrors and they've never had an effect on him. Usually, yeah, like puppies and kittens,
yeah,
they have that phase. And then my wife and I went away in December. The last time we didn't have a podcast for a week was because we rented a house for the weekend in Berkeley Springs, West Virginia, like a mini vacation, like a 4-day vacation. And we opened up this door to this closet, and there was a full-length mirror. And the dog saw himself, and he started growling at himself. He's 10 years old at this point. He's seen mirrors. He was all into it. He was like, crept up to the mirror, started growling. Like, we were going to take video of it, but we just called it. We were like, he's going to attack the mirror. He's going to, like, break the mirror. So only once has that happened. I guess he was in an unfamiliar territory. He was like, oh, there must be another dog.
God. That is hilarious.
But other than that, he's never had a problem with it. But there's videos all over YouTube of, like, you know, cat videos and dog videos where they, like, attack the fucking mirror. They literally don't know what. Some of them are just playing. Some of them will go after themselves. Like, I got to. So maybe Chad and Cam O'Connor.
Well, they will attack each other. They'll start growling at each other.
Wasn't there a Star Trek episode where there's, like, a clone?
Oh, sure.
The evil clone with the goatee.
Yeah, little muscle, like a little clone, goatee. They're from another universe.
Captain Kirk.
They're from the bad universe.
Yeah.
And then there's the one where it splits the bad side and the good side, split them apart. The transporter split them both apart.
Yeah.
The Captain Kirk, the good Captain Kirk was dying because he needed the bad Captain Kirk.
Yeah.
He needed both sides to be alive.
Yeah. Yeah.
I want to live. You will live inside of me.
So maybe if I get the opportunity at some point in the future to go back to Go Bananas, maybe I'll try to get Chad on the shows, and Chad and Cam O'Connor can just fight. They'll just fight it out
again, like Highlander, again, like Star Wars or like Star Trek.
Yeah. And I didn't even tell Cam. I was gonna tell him all weekend, like, dude, because it would be a whole dude. I got to tell you something, man. It's freaking me out. You're just like my friend Chad. Very distinct. You should have.
Then he would have been like,
what?
He's still alive?
Yeah. He lives? Chad lives?
You ever see Highlander? I was thinking Highlander. Just like,
he just, goes only
to his,
one?
He just goes to the back of the car, pops the trunk, and a sword comes out. Yeah. Like, yes. Where is he? Where is this Chad?
I must find Chad. Here's the other thing about Cincinnati. Chili. They love chili. It's all about chili.
Well, they have that chili place over in Clarendon has a Cincinnati chili.
Right.
On the menu.
Yeah. Hard times.
Yeah.
We drove past. We were like one of those nights or afternoons. We were looking for just a quick bite before the show. I think it was Thursday. And so we drove past like three. By the third chili spot, we were like, "What's is this a chili? Is something going on with the chili here that they love their chili?"
Talk about it on stage?
One night I did. Only briefly. I should have built it throughout the week into a bit, but. Here's what happened. Literally, we drive past Fred's Chili or whatever, and then Chili Willy's or whatever it is, and then another chili spot. We were like, we got to the kind of the end of that strip of restaurants and fast food and shit. We're like, let's just turn around. Fuck it, let's go to Wendy's. And we go into Wendy's. First thing out of the dude's mouth, you want some chili? Like, why would we go to Wendy's?
Wendy's to get chili.
Look out your window, man. There's like four chili spots. In our view, why would we go? And he was pushing Wendy's chili on us. Of course, we're not getting chili here. Why would we come to Wendy's for chili?
They probably do it special because it's a Wendy's in Cincinnati. Chili. Because yeah, there was like a McDonald's like out west, Western New York, and it was one of the last McDonald's with a grill where they still made their burgers.
Oh, really?
On the thing in front of you, and I was just like, this is weird.
Well, we're known for our grill burgers here in Dayton.
Yeah, like I didn't see the tray. I didn't see any of that. He was like, oh, you want? Just went right to the
yeah. Paducah's known for their grilling technique.
That's in Ohio?
Cincinnati.
Did you get your car shit on?
I did not.
You see that guy?
We took Ben's car. And no, that guy's in Akron. That's LeBron James' hometown.
Yeah. He went around shitting on cars.
And getting his picture taken.
Yeah, that just popped into my head. I was like, isn't there a guy shitting on cars?
No, it's in the it's
19
email,
cars,
I
believe, right?
Yeah, 19.
Here's the article. It's there's at least one picture of him. How does he still have a job?
Yeah, how is he not arrested? Look at his fucking face.
He's clearly caught. He's watching the guy.
That's that white privilege.
He's like, the guy's looking at him.
This is clearly directly. A fetish for the guy.
The
this
bowel
is...
movement bandit.
Yeah.
Stupid news. You just have to give him a goofy name.
But some of the car, the miscreant has a distinct Poop modus gangster. Operandi, according to local reports. He typically strikes anywhere from 5:30 to 6:30 a.m. So he's setting his alarm to go shit on cars. Like, you know, I can't get up at 5:30 in the morning for any reason. This guy's like, I got to go shit on a fucking Sentra. So the people come out to their cars for their morning commute, and there's like shit on the hood. He shits on the hood. And some of these people, I got another article I got to pull up.
One woman's car has been pooped on 7 times over the years.
Multiple times.
So this guy's like fucking Bigfoot. He's just been roaming around this neighborhood.
Just leaving shit trails.
He found him.
Another one had the feces smeared on his car's hood, door handles, gas tank cover, windshield, and mirrors. So you can't even get in your car without touching some dude's shit.
Oh.
That's like some frat boy pranking stuff. But this guy clearly too old.
That's so gross.
Well, he wasn't singing Hang Nigger spirituals, so.
Well, we don't know. I mean,
it's okay with me.
Maybe he was.
He's saying that while he's pooping.
Maybe, yeah. It's fucking 6:30 in the morning. He's out there singing songs and shit. Anyone with information is kindly asked to call the Akron Police Department. This is one of those
are they?
Crime Stoppers hotlines. That's how it's going in Akron. They don't have any other crimes. They go, anyone with information about the poop bandit.
That's hilarious.
What would you do, though? You walk out to your car. Because some people take real pride in, like, their paint jobs. You know, they wax their car. Like,
walk out to the car and there's shit on the car. First of all, you wouldn't believe it.
No, there's a guy shitting.
Oh, that guy gets gets clocked.
Because if he's going to smear shit on your door, he's going to smear shit on you.
Gets clocked. He gets like, you got a Superman punch him. That means you run at him, jump in the air and punch him in the
man,
face.
Man, that's too close. The legs are better. I would do a running kick.
That guy gets clocked. First of all, he's got his pants down in the picture.
He's throwing shit on you.
So
you know that's going to
happen.
You
just push him, he's falling over.
You're going to have shit.
Nasty motherfucker.
I feel like if I have shit flying at me, you win.
Oh, nah, he's gotta get punched, dude. Yeah, I can't let you win over shit. If he's got a matrix, I'm gonna matrix your shit. You gonna throw it at me? I'm gonna matrix it.
I'm sorry. Someone threw shit at me. I'd cry. I don't think I could.
I would try to kill
you. It's one thing to like to try and kick him off, or he's like you catch him in the middle. I'm gonna try and kick him off. But someone throwing shit at you isn't normal.
I might try to kill you.
That scares me. I don't want the germs. I don't know what you ate. I don't know none of that.
Some people take major pride in their car.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like some people, like we know people who have had their cars keyed and they're like, that's cool.
Yeah. Oh, hey, look, man.
Yeah, we do know people like that. We know people.
This image captured by a camera set up after it happened not once before, but
7. This is our 7th time here. Same car, same place.
It's got the
car belongs
on too.
To Linda's daughter. Her husband set up the camera and handed the image over to Akron police who found
some
this has happened to 19 other people in this Akron neighborhood since 2012.
Same neighborhood.
And to most multiple times. Count Jacob among them. He's been hit 6 times.
He did it on the hood every time.
What'd you do, Jacob?
And then the one time he took it and he smeared it all over the hood, the windshield, the mirrors. The window, the
What'd you
door
do,
handles,
Jacob?
And the
you did something to this man.
So far, none of the victims have recognized the man in the picture. Dusty didn't. Her car was hit twice. She thought she was the only one until this afternoon when she saw this on Facebook.
And I was like, that's it. That's the guy. It has to be. I was like, because it's right here in the same vicinity.
Her name is Dusty Farmer. What the fuck? Sounds like a country singer.
There is one.
The chances that he would have a problem with everybody in this same geographical locations would be very unusual. So this is going to be somebody with a mental health issue.
How'd they get his picture?
Or somebody that's just
someone
sick.
Set up a camera.
Akron, John Kosick, Sting operation. 5.
The attacks have happened mainly in the early morning hours between 4 and 6.
The attacks.
Charges of criminal mischief or possibly criminal damaging.
Criminal
How
mischief.
How have they not caught him yet? No one in this town knows this dude.
He might be onto him now. Maybe he's going to move to the next town over because now he's getting publicity.
Shit in their town?
Yeah, he's getting publicity.
Well, maybe he's been hitting those other towns.
I can only do this under the cover of the night. Like a Rolling Stones car song. Undercover of the night.
The other neighborhoods are going to be like, we've seen that nigga too. This motherfucker. All over my truck. Like, especially the hood. Like, in the hood where he was like, no one listened to us when he was saying anything.
Yeah.
And now he hit some of y'all white folks, and now you got some people something to say.
You know what the worst? You know, like, you get in your car and not notice. Like, there's like a leaf big leaf stuck under your windshield wiper. Now you're driving on the highway. You can't do anything about it. You can't get to it. You hit the wiper blades. It just sticks to it.
Yeah.
Like the worst is when you're. And it smears. Let's say you're driving down the highway because you're just kind of sleepy. You get in your car. You start driving. And then like 10 minutes into the drive, you're like, there's a fucking pile of shit where my hood ornament should be. And then you're just driving around with shit on your car.
Right.
Other people are looking at you, stopped at a light. Like, why is there a fucking pile of shit on your car?
That's a big splat of mud.
And your morning commute, like 5:30 to 6:30 in the morning. Like, what's fucked up about that is that car washes don't open till like 8.
So you're stuck.
So you're stuck with that for like a while.
Oh, you're getting banned from car washes.
They're not letting that's not
you go, you go into the machine one, the machine wash one. No hand washed for you.
No, the wash it yourself machine, which we need more of.
Yeah, and you don't notice it. Like when my car got keyed, it snowed, so I didn't even look at it right away. It wasn't until I got to work and all the snow that was on the car melted off. I'm looking at just long lines
that's
on both sides.
That's a weird line of snow.
Yeah, like, what's that still doing there?
It should have faded by now. It should have melted away.
It was a lot of work. Someone put in some real time to get underneath my handles.
underneath the door handles?
Everything. Just and there's no way to really explain. Every time I brought it in somewhere, they were just like, "So what'd you do, dog?" And I was like, "Who'd you piss off, man?" Yeah, who'd you piss off? I didn't really do nothing, man. Just kind of do it, man. Just and they were like, "Look, you're not the first story that we've heard like this, but you're the first guy to not know." And I was like, "I would have at least liked to enjoy whatever led up to that point, but nothing led to that point, which is was some straight bullshit, really."
I wonder if the shitter ever had those moments where he, you know, he squatted down and he couldn't. He had like performance anxiety. He's only
I don't think that dude's ever had performance
it's
anxiety.
Like, here I sit, brokenhearted, came to shit on a car.
Right.
He's never had performance anxiety.
You know, it might have been like maybe 22 cars, but the first, you know, three, he.
Right.
He was like, I'm not ready. I'm not ready.
I need some.
He's probably got down to the signs like
some Raisin Bran.
If I go to Chipotle at 4. I'm going to be able to shit at 5:30 the next morning. Like, he's probably got the time perfect.
Need my cup of coffee.
Get my cup of coffee. Yeah, wake up, get some coffee.
Man, wakes up, looks in the mirror, like, you're going to do this today. Today's the day.
Today you shit.
Do you guys want to talk about Ferguson now? You ready?
Ferguson?
Here we go.
It's over. It's old news.
Is it old news, white man?
It's in the past. We've moved on. We've moved on. Let's stop bringing up the past.
So the Department of Justice's report came out, and basically the Ferguson police have had their hands in the pocket of the community for years now. Just had their hands in the pocket of the community. They use the community of Ferguson.
The black community.
As a revenue source.
As do almost all police departments.
As a strict revenue source. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, you need to not say that on this podcast, white man, before our shit gets shut down.
Well, no, I'm just saying that this is a thing that people have been saying, I mean, not racially, but just in general, for years. You know, a lot of the libertarian people will bring it up, and it's been documented that this cops or any municipality is using people to fund the government. Mm-hmm. And then they're like, well, we can't – if you start not speeding, we have to get you for something else because we still need the money.
Yeah.
You have to misbehave in some way.
Yeah.
So – and this is just a case where the town is all black pretty much.
So the people of this town have been like
– and poor.
They'll get a $150 ticket. They can't make it. And then the fine starts just going up and going up and going up and going up.
Doubling.
People lose their jobs.
You get a collections agency coming after you. Credit score is fucked up.
Yeah.
Or they'll get you and give you like 8 charges.
And there's nothing to do. Yeah, they pull you over, they give you 8 charges because they want to maximize the amount of money that they make. So I saw a, which I've kept putting up, my first tweet I kept putting up was, has anybody asked Charles Barkley what he thinks about this? Because Charles Barkley, they were just all thugs.
Yeah, you got to wear a suit.
With no, I said that this guy that I stopped talking to that I knew, and it just infuriates me when black people say that. The black people are like, well, it's Al Sharpton's fault, or it's this guy's fault, or black people need to act better, or they shouldn't act like that. My question to them is always, what do you think is going on in this town to make these people act like this? What do you think is happening in this town? Do you think that nothing? Okay, so then the report comes out, right? First of all, people try to discount the report. They act like it's not true. Well, it's not true. That's basically, you hear that a lot.
Right.
And then secondly, no one ever says anything. that people just want the report to go away. All right, so I saw a thing today on Facebook. A guy put a thing up. There's a guy who said he feels like the shooting that happened to the first two Ferguson police officers was a setup. He feels like that.
That they did it themselves?
That the police shot the police paid somebody to shoot other police officers.
That's a little
bit Machiavellian shit, okay?
Mm. That false flag, man.
That this is all a setup, right?
Right.
And then another comic that we know who also does another podcast put on there, it's sick. This comic is white. Right. Put on there, well, it's sick, and there's no way that can happen. I'm like, no one would ever believe that. I'm like, well, the people of that community would believe that. Right. I put the comment up on behind that. I said the people of that community would believe that. The people who have been used by the police as a revenue source, the people who have no faith in the police,
right. They've would been abused easily by them too.
Because the man who said that, made that statement, lives in that community. So why would he not believe that? Why would he not believe that?
Why is it just so hard in general just to believe when black people are saying, this is happening here?
That's the systemic racism, and that's the disconnect, and that's why, like, on that, when I put that quote, I turned off notifications, because I don't even want to talk to him about it, because there's nothing to say.
Right.
There's nothing to say, because you don't see, you read the report, you hear what these black people are saying to you.
It matches the report.
And you don't believe it. You will not. Well,
I think not believing that the cops shot themselves as a setup, that's, you're getting into conspiracy theory. And so there are people who are like, well, okay, I'm with you until that point. That doesn't mean you disbelieve the whole thing. It just means I'm not a conspiracy theorist thinking that the cops had someone shoot them in an area that wouldn't kill them, from a distance where hopefully no one else gets it. Taking another step.
My point would be is, because he said, well, it's crazy. It's not crazy. It's literally not crazy for somebody living in that community to think like that. It makes perfect sense. Like, you, of course you would think like that.
Why
would you think like that?
It's crazy for the cops to pay a guy to shoot them.
You know?
That is crazy. So yeah, there I'm is not a saying crazy
that.
Element.
No, it's not crazy to not believe that. Because you think, okay, this Department of Justice report came out. We got to get the eye off of this Department of Justice report. What's the way to do that? How do we go about doing that?
There are tons of ways to do that.
Yeah, I'm not saying that there's not. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying, to me, it's not insane to believe. It's not insane to make that leap, that next leap. Look. Black people have been mistreated by law enforcement in this country for many, 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 many years. The black community has been mistreated by the government of this country for many, many, many years. From the Tuskegee experiment to introducing drugs into the community to all this shit that keeps happening. And when you bring it up, there's a large segment of people who either A, don't believe it, or B, do believe it, but it doesn't really matter to them.
Or do they believe it, but it's our fault?
Yeah,
that's the worst one.
That's
I think.
The third one. Yeah. Well, you should have been.
You didn't
have
to take the drugs.
Yeah.
You
didn't have to take them.
Yeah. Like, really? That's right up there with Steve Burns saying on Mark Maron's podcast how black people sold slaves. So
just because something's for sale doesn't mean you have to buy.
Yeah. I was like, what the fuck does that even mean? And
I guess I'm buying slaves.
Yeah. And even if that, like, let's say that, right, black people also sold slaves. Once that transfer of let's say product, for the sake of the example, once you transfer the product, how do you treat said product?
Right.
It's out of his hands after
that. You rape it and kill it.
Right.
And that's also the racism of all these black people see themselves as they're all the same. They're all black.
Right.
They don't see each other as the same.
This
is one tribe looking at another tribe, looking at another tribe. There are vast differences between them that you don't see because you just see the color of their skin.
Right. Prisoners of war. Simple. All right, we beat that tribe, and we need some weapons.
Right,
we're gonna straight them to the white guys.
So take these white guys. What the black people who were selling them don't understand is they see you exactly the same, and when you don't have anything left to sell, they're gonna take you.
Well, it's the common enemy.
That's the next thing. They're gonna take you.
The enemy of my enemy is my friend. Yeah. So that's just that shit. That people make weird alliances all the time.
Yeah. Mm.
Just for the sake of eliminating some other people.
Yes.
You know.
Yes.
You know what sucks? There's probably like this 10, 20 different leaders that were like, we tribes got to come together, and they killed those guys.
Yeah. You ain't fucking up my money.
You know what? You're the first slave.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah, you know.
You're for sale.
I say that to, you know, a lot of the discussion that has been, first of all, the DOJ report is fucking gone now. It was talked about for one day, and no one cares about it anymore. I'm like, the police force used the black community as a revenue source. Okay, so the mayor stands up, and now a lot of people have resigned. There's no charges being brought against them.
That's what they did. Wasn't illegal.
Exactly. Well, it wasn't illegal.
How can you bring charges?
How can it not be illegal? And that's the thing I would say is, how is this not illegal?
That's the next question.
To use a group, a segment of the population.
Well, that's because that's your characterization of it. Their characterization of it is, we have laws in place, we enforce those laws.
Yeah, and that's what they'll say.
And you know what
I will say is that, stop lying to me. I'm not stupid. You know what you did. I know what you did. But we have to now, in polite society, now I'm not allowed to tell you that.
But what I'm saying is, what they did, you can't charge them with a crime.
Yeah.
Because what they did is not a crime.
They're just calling the same crime a different name. Like a good example I heard a while ago was, like, if somebody slaps you, you know you've been slapped.
Right.
Right. But then you talk to somebody for a little bit, and he's like, did you just brush your hand across your face? Or did you just do, how hard was it? Was it just a love tap? Was it like, I know I'm a grown fucking person. I've been slapped.
Right.
So what they're saying is, well, if they didn't break those laws, we don't have to give them tickets and fines. It's like, but if you were just giving them out anyway, just to black people in that community, you're fucking with us. Like, stop fucking with us. Also, stop lying to me, to my face. Like, I'm being mistreated. Don't tell me that
I'm being mistreated in a Jim Crow way.
Right.
And you're doing that.
Yeah.
And you to me.
It's also not getting getting a charge dropped when you go to court or whatever. Like, there's all that. That happens, you know, places where you get pulled over, you get a ticket, you go to court, they reduce it.
Mm-hmm.
That wasn't happening either. Like, the typical channels that you can take, like, oh, these cops are fucking with me, I'm going to go to court and maybe I'll get something dropped or reduced. That didn't happen either. So, you know,
they got to make that money, man.
Full fine.
They got to make that money.
Yeah, well, that's the way police departments get money.
You know, first of all, that's already gone. People aren't even talking about it anymore. That's number one. People are losing their jobs. But then the mayor says, we're not going to disband the police force. Because that's happened. Department of Justice has disbanded police forces before. Like, well, you guys can't be police. You know, they do that. The mayor's like, we're not going to disband the police force. I'm like, how can you keep them employed? How? There's literally no way.
Hashtag not all cops.
The community doesn't. The community doesn't believe in them. The community views them as adversaries. They view the community as adversaries. How can you keep them employed? And by the way, how do you still have a job? How does anybody involved in this stay in there? Because
there are no channels. You can't fire a mayor.
Exactly. So he has to serve out his term, and
or he resigns and puts someone else in place.
He has to serve out his term. And there's another aspect that we haven't even talked about is that the majority of people in this town,
the white people,
in the majority of the area around Ferguson, don't give a fuck. They feel like the police are doing the right thing. Because they don't give a fuck about the people in this town. But so imagine if you're black and you live in this area. You feel like you live in a war zone.
Yeah. I know someone that's lived in Ferguson who's told me stories about the Confederate flag being on the back of their car, or they're like pulling up to people and be like, get over here, nigger. Let me see what you got in your pocket. And you're just like, that's not even if you want to see what's in my pockets, one, that's not even start a fucking search.
Yeah.
You don't start a search that way. You know? And like, I feel like there should be more of an explosion. Like, there should be more. My mom says this a lot, and I finally agree with her, but gotta get really fucking mad. Like, this gotta, like, I'm not to, I don't want to start riots or nothing, but I think the time for talk is kind of like.
I say all the time, anger's valuable, and.
The time for talk.
Talk is not, doesn't seem to be getting, like Russ said on Monday's podcast, so you have. We just had the praise of Martin Luther King, all these people getting fire hosed and stuff like that, and people are still shocked that this happens. Why would you think it doesn't happen? Because people make excuses for it.
Because that was a long time
that's
ago.
That's my problem.
Right. That was 50 and can years.
You still make excuses.
Can you imagine it then when they were just like, oh man, we didn't even know that they were getting hosed?
The grass is greener than 50 years prior.
Right.
So there's all you can always do that.
Yeah, well,
that
they say that anything. Now. Well, we have a black president.
Right.
So Russell Brand put up a good thing the other day about how little power Barack Obama has.
Yeah.
You know, or any politician has. The system is in place. The system is endemic racism, is systemic racism. And unless the system is addressed, which it's not, no one ever talks about the system.
Well, the system is not the issue. For a lot of people, it's you just need to get a all you got to do is have the father in your life.
Yeah.
Pull your pants up.
Yeah.
Respect your elders, get a job, whatever it is, right? Have a role model, basically, yeah. Right? So, and then Barack Obama's president. So, hey guys, ultimate role model, right? Yeah. Black president. And racism didn't end. So like, what'd you do, Barack?
Yeah.
You didn't end it? Because people really thought that was the way to end it, was to have ultimate role model, you know? Look up to this actor or this athlete or this. That's right. Why they have there's so much pressure on entertainers, right, to be role models, because there are a lot of people who literally think, oh, you just have a black guy you look up to, right? You got a couple of those, and you'll get your job. You'll pull your pants up. No, that's not actually what's going on. There's a whole system going on. So that's people who say, well, Obama didn't end racism. What's wrong? What happened there? They actually thought that was going to happen.
Yeah,
right.
They thought racism to end racism was a responsibility of black people to end racism.
Right, yeah. Who didn't start it in the first place here, right. You know, which is the strangest thing. I thought that was like a media thing that like, yeah, oh, it's going to end it. I thought, okay, this is just media being stupid, until I actually heard actual people.
Mm-hmm. People bought it.
Saying that shit, yeah, like, why do you have a black president? How come some of these people can't get in order? And I'm like, one, first of all, let's put Obama in the circle that he's in. He went to law school. He did. Mm-hmm. He is in a whole different economic class.
Mm-hmm.
He's been in a completely different. Hawaii is a completely different place to live, mm-hmm, than mainland U.S. I mean, he probably would have been a very different guy if he was 10, 12, 15 years old and had to drive through the South.
Right. Well, he wouldn't be president. But here's the thing. Here's the thing about Barack Obama that they can't stand is that Barack Obama is unabashedly black. Mm. Don't like that.
Yeah.
That's why they don't like when he starts talking, when he says anything about race. They don't like it because it resonates when he says it, because he's unabashedly black. He doesn't call himself half white.
Right.
He calls himself black.
Everyone else.
And just think of this. When he talks about race, he's still sanitizing it.
Yeah. And he's being,
still too much.
He's being nice. Yeah. He's being nice. He's a nice guy.
Right.
Is the thing about him.
He has to be presidential.
But he that's what I've always liked about Barack Obama, is he throws nods to black people literally all the time. And I'm not talking about the racial politics of the pull your pants up, act right, and get a job, which I don't have a problem with anybody black saying that. I don't have a problem with an older black guy telling younger black guys, look, motherfucker, act right and get a goddamn job. I don't have a problem with that.
Right. That shows that your community cares.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with that. But he does shit that Tim Miller lives, can tell you many stories about being at the special house that he used to work at, about how ignorant behind closed doors that, or when Barack does the brush your shirt off your shoulders sign. Hmm. White people don't know what that is. Black people know what the fuck that means.
Right.
When he's like, I don't give a fuck about the hater. And then he does that right now.
It's a nod to
we know what that
Jay-Z, admitted drug dealer.
You know, right. We know what that means.
Admitted drug dealer. Jay, that's part of his name.
Or like when he threw shade at these senators the other day. He's I feel sorry for him.
Embarrassed.
And white people are like, yeah, black people know. I'm like, oh, look at his eyes. I know what the fuck that means.
I'm embarrassed by them. 47 of them? Really?
I know what the fuck that means. He's unabashedly a black man, you know, who by the way, is walking a tightrope every day.
Yeah.
You know.
Because right. he's not black enough for some black people.
Yeah. And I couldn't walk that tightrope.
I'd
be like, when that dude popped up at that first press, that first thing, and said, you lie at me, I'm off the stage.
You lie. You motherfucker.
And I come diving off the stage at him, and we're fighting.
Like, it's interesting. Like, his two terms have been, I've seen some shit that has never, ever happened to anyone else. And the thing is, I didn't even have to pay attention to politics as a kid. But I knew that there were just certain things you didn't do to the president, or you didn't do in certain places.
Well, it happens to this president.
And
isn't that weird?
All of a sudden, there's no class, there's no decorum, there's none of that. It's you lie, and then it's we're gonna write to these guys behind your back. Like, we're supposed to sign a treaty. If these motherfuckers now decide, hey, you know what, Obama, you're cool, but these 47, they're the reason why we're gonna nuke the half, just half of the U.S. I can't even be mad at that anymore. Like, now I'm just like, you know what, just show me where the bomb shelter is, and I'll be okay. I just want to know that. I don't.
Hey, that's where. Well, you ain't getting the bomb shelter.
I ain't getting it.
Yeah, they ain't letting you in the bomb shelter. You gonna come in here with your black dick? We can't have you impregnating our white women.
I'm gonna go at night. It's about the time for me.
And that's, I mean, so the president of Israel comes and speaks. Bibi Netanyahu comes and speaks. You know, they invite him. Never happened in history. Mm-hmm. They invite a foreign leader to basically chastise the president.
He spoke to Congress like 20 years ago.
Yeah, did he?
Yeah.
Over what? What was it about?
I don't remember. But there's footage of it.
I need to know what it was about. Was he chastising?
My point is it's happened where Congress, foreign leaders have been invited.
You know, have they come and chastised the president? And the people who invited him knew specifically they were going to do that, and that's why we're inviting you?
I don't know.
That's what the fuck it was about. And so you bring this guy in. So why wouldn't a bunch of senators think they can do this? You know, that was my point. Then the next week, people are like, I can't believe these senators did this. I'm like, really? You can't believe that? Why wouldn't they think they could do that? Why wouldn't they do that?
Right. These are the same guys sending emails with him and fried chicken and watermelon.
Fried chicken, watermelon.
And all this other stuff.
But they're not sending the emails, Romaine. They're just forwarding emails that they received.
Yeah,
you see the difference?
I know when I've been slapped in the face. That's what I'm saying.
I
know when I've been slapped in the face.
I mean, that slap in the face, first of all, you walked into the hand. So let's just say that.
Yeah. Why would you care about emails? You have a black president.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
So there. Winner.
You just can't there win. You
go. I
just
won the win. Argument.
There you go.
Well, that's why I said back when he got elected the first time, it wasn't going to end racism, but white guilt is going to take a hit. I think a lot of white guilt ended. It ended some white guilt for a lot of people. They were like, we can say some shit now. Yeah, like, we're not going to hold back the shit we've been holding back. You know what I mean? It's going to be more out loud. And that's really what happened.
Well, you know what? That means that to white people, being the president is the top thing.
Yeah.
That still doesn't mean anything to black people, because like, we're just like, yeah, okay. Some of us are still kind of poor down here.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah,
you know, some of us are poor.
Just some disrespect, like this Univision host who said that Michelle Obama looked like an ape, which, by the way, has been going around many times all over the place. You know, some Mexican cat, which I've said many times. First time I was ever called nigger to my face was by a Mexican person. Mexicans don't give a shit about black people. I know that. I grew up in that. I know that. So this guy was on air, and there's a dude on air who's a makeup artist who can he makes himself look like women. He does look like Michelle Obama in this fucking picture. He did a good fucking job just through makeup and hair.
Wow.
Like, that's him. And then he'll transform himself into. So he was showing different ones he did. He was like, I did this one. I did this one. And he's, and I did Michelle Obama too. And just through makeup, he's able to just kind of transform
that's
himself.
That's kind of scary, actually.
Yeah.
I mean, it's good, but it's good. Very scary to know that.
So then the guy says, the line he says is, mind you know that Michelle Obama looks like she's part of the cast of the Planet of the Apes, the film. I'm like, really? So you just said she looks like
a monkey?
She looks like a monkey. Let me tell you something.
He was referring to the makeup job.
The people at Univision, they fired him that day. They were like, what did he just say? All right, start packing his office up. They didn't even give him a chance to.
He just like, he was still on the air like, all right, see that room to the side? That second room to the left.
Start packing his office up, because he's fucking done.
Trap door opens. Yeah. Just falls through it.
Fucking done, son.
Actually, I'd watch that to see somebody go through a trap door for saying the wrong shit.
So that's just actually two things now in the last.
He
two,
said he was referring to the two. Actual, the makeup job.
Right. 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 So he was fired after making an on-air joke. I'm reading now. But he also aired his gripes about Univision. He penned a letter to apologize to her. In the letter, the former host of Sally Pimenta said the only reason he was fired was that someone in the first lady's office complained about the joke, and that he now feels humiliated by Univision. Yeah, you should be. Anyway.
They were humiliated by you.
They should feel. Yeah, that's why you were fired that day. I want to clarify that I'm not racist, and in no way was my comment directed at you.
the person I said it about.
He said it about the makeup job.
But rather the work of the makeup artist was left much to be desired. So let's go back. First of all, it doesn't leave much to be desired. He looks exactly like her. That's the first thing. Secondly, let's go back and look at the statement that we have. We have your statement.
Yeah.
Okay. Mind you, you know that Michelle Obama looks like she's part of the cast of the Planet of the Apes, the film.
He's pointing at the picture. You know that Michelle Obama looks like. That's when he's pointing at the picture of the makeup.
Ah.
You know, like you refer to a character on a TV show or an actor by their character's name?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
It's like that. That's what he's doing.
Let's go back and look at his statement. I want to clarify that I'm not racist. Okay, that's debatable. And in no way was my comment directed at you. Actually, no, it probably wasn't directed at her because he wasn't Michelle Obama. He didn't go, hey, Michelle Obama, you look like you're part of the cast of the Planet of the Apes. So that part he got right. But rather the work of the makeup artist. Okay, well, I think he's saying that it was the makeup was hard for him to do because she looks like she's part of the cast of the Planet of the Apes.
Which
left much to be desired. This makeup artist's work is spectacular because he looks like a black woman, specifically Michelle Obama.
Right, and like he did the neck and the shoulders and everything too. It was not even just, I just did the face. Like
he went,
you know what? He probably would have done it too.
His work is spectacular.
That's amazing.
Either way, whether
Figueroa also said that he's far from racist because he's biracial, huh? Mm-hmm. With Latino parents, one of whom is black, huh?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He also noted that he's the first openly gay personality at Univision and even voted for President Barack Obama twice. I voted for your husband, huh? I've been an activist for causes and favors of minorities as I've been discriminated against.
Okay.
You still gone.
Well, even if his version is as he said it, like he was just referring to the picture and he just called the picture Michelle Obama, you got to know you can't do the ape thing. You know what I mean?
Why would you leap to apes? She doesn't look like an ape.
Well, yeah. Well, whatever the case, you can't make monkey and ape jokes or say somebody looks like. That's just not done. You can't do that. People are not going to listen to your explanation afterwards.
You better say some respectful shit about the First Lady of the United States.
I mean, look, you don't want to. I guess I don't want to give him the benefit of the doubt.
He gets no benefit of the doubt.
Yeah, but
that's the thing that bothers me more than anything else is, look, motherfucker, I know what you meant.
Right.
And you know what you meant. So stop trying to clean this shit up. And stop trying to sell me some bullshit. I know what the fuck you meant, and you know what the fuck you meant.
And like if you think she looks like an ape, own up to it and just be like, well, you know, I don't find her whatever. And just say it. I don't like the fakeness. I don't like the fakeness behind it. You don't have to find people attractive that you don't find attractive. You don't have to say someone's pretty if you don't think they aren't. But don't
what if
don't
someone actually
me.
Looks like a monkey, you know? Just said about George W. Bush. They had the monkey picture, the side-by-side monkey picture, right?
Yeah.
So I just meant it as a literally look like a monkey or an ape.
Right, but you also got to know where you are.
You
even if you think that, you
saying
can't...
Saying that about somebody black
you can't make
a
that
lot
joke.
More resonance.
Right, you just can't do that. That doesn't matter.
You got to know where you are. You got to know where you are when you say it,
right?
Whatever. And you got to, and that's a sentence that you have, like... Yeah, so how are you on TV for so long and not know what to say... Yeah, I wanted to say this. Well, you haven't been on TV for 10 years. Say what you wanted to say.
Fucking ridiculous.
He made it a very specific ape too. The Planet of the Apes apes.
Yeah.
Not some other type of ape.
Specifically. And then he said, well, I wasn't talking about. Yeah, you were, man. I hate that. I know what you meant. And you know what you meant.
And
so we're supposed to act like we didn't mean like this in polite company. That's what we're supposed to do.
And I know which one he meant, which was the Mark Wahlberg one, which was the shitty one. So like this even like you've just put layer on shit on shit on shit. So you've lost me at that
point. What you meant? You know what you meant. But because in polite society, okay, so he apologizes, you say, "Oh, I accept your apology." And then the shit is over, right? Right?
Mm-hmm.
Because I said,
well,
I'm
what
sorry.
Else is there to do?
Because I said, I'm sorry. Well, first of all, A, I don't have to accept your apology.
Well, that's
and
just
B,
rude.
And B, stop lying and acting like you didn't say the shit that you said. I don't believe you. You're a liar.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Hold on. I'm trying to raise a daughter. There she goes.
Bring it here to me. Yeah, you know? I'm like, ugh, come on, man.
St.
Come on, stop
Patrick's
with the
Day
lying.
Cookies. Is this St. Patrick's Day? Oh, it is this week.
It fell apart.
Mine is intact. My cupcake made of sand is intact.
There
you
go. So. It's attacking and melting.
There you go. Have fun. I don't know what she just said.
Whatever. You just really nod. Don't. Smile and nod.
I really don't.
Good, good. Good point. Good point.
I know we didn't even talk to Rust about it. I want to talk to him about it. It's kind of off the beaten path. It just caught my eye. McDonald's has an indie band that played for free at South by Southwest. South by.
Randolph's eating a cookie in the microphone, Courtney. Sorry.
Courtney, I'm sorry, Courtney.
He's livid right now.
South by.
South by Southwest is a festival that has many musicians and a few comedians. And much like comedy festivals, very few of the acts get paid. Comedy festivals do this all the time. Pay an entry fee. We'll review your video or whatever. We'll invite you to a festival. And then you got to get there and put yourself up.
You're on your own.
And feed yourself and all that stuff. And then maybe a couple of the headliners get paid.
Yeah.
Even South by Southwest, which is mostly a music festival, they have comedians. And a couple of years ago, Duncan Trussell, comedian, posted about how they asked him to come to the festival for no money, for exposure. That's the one they always throw out there. Like, it's good exposure.
Did you turn him down?
Oh, yeah. He called him out online publicly. Mm-hmm. And they said, well, I don't think they said anything back, but he just said, you know, this
is... Well, they don't care about a comic. Is that mine or yours?
What are you talking about?
I heard a noise in the background.
I don't know. Like a video playing?
I don't know. Must have been mine.
So this band is called X-Cops. Is that right? I'm trying to get the article up. Is that your tablet playing something?
I don't know. I think so.
What the fuck is it?
Yeah, and it's frozen too. Yeah, I turned it off.
There we go. McDonald's asked indie band to play for free at South by Southwest. Their response is perfect. I hate that headline.
Good old upworthy type headlines. Mm-hmm.
You might not know X-Cops yet. The pop punk duo made up of Amelie Brune and Brian Harding is still coming into the limelight.
Amelie looks like an actress.
Still, they're getting plenty of attention. They've worked with Billy Corgan, Ariel Park, but whatever. They're on the way up. South by Southwest, I guess, is run by McDonald's now. Is that it used to be like this big independent festival, and now McDonald's has a stage. So McDonald's asked them to play their South by Southwest showcase in Austin, Texas this year, in case you've never heard of South by.
South by.
It's one of the largest events in the country and certainly a contender for the biggest event in music.
Going to South by.
Despite the fact that McDonald's currently has a net worth of $97 billion, which is more than the national net worth of the United States of America, they didn't have a budget for which to pay the artist showcase. This is what they always do. They're like, we don't have a budget. We don't have a budget. We're putting on this festival, and when we put it on, we crunched the numbers, and we were like, oh, fuck. We didn't leave enough money to pay.
For the budget. To pay all the art, people. To pay the talent.
Who's going
to
actually make the festival what it is. Yeah.
We'll pay a couple bands. We'll pay like the two headlining bands or whatever. We'll pay. Maybe a couple smaller bands will get a little bit of money.
And we're going to pay them as much as we possibly can.
Yeah. Oops, we put together this festival, and God, we fucked up the math.
No, we're worth $97 billion.
This is not even free food. Not even like a cent. Like, hey, give me a sandwich.
No, they do get free food.
The crowd gets free food at the McDonald's stage. The crowd gets free McDonald's food. So you're watching, you know, like.
So you're watching music. You're watching artists that aren't being paid, and you're eating shit that's killing you.
Yeah, but at least you're getting compensated.
There you go.
The crowd gets compensated. McDonald's couldn't find a few bucks to pay a band working for them. And then the band put out a little a comment. McDonald's asked us to play South by Southwest. This is Brian's open letter about it. This week, our band was asked to play McDonald's Showcase at the annual South by Southwest, also known as SXSW. Their selling point was that this was, quote, a great opportunity for additional exposure, classic, and that McDonald's will have their global digital team on site, whatever that means, like two guys with tablets.
Yeah, and leather jackets in hot-ass Austin
two
at all
nerds.
Times.
Their global digital team on site to meet with the bands, help with cross-promotion, etc. I don't and doubt that they know what that means either. Getting past the rhetoric, at the very least, a big company like McDonald's can at least pay their talent a little, right? As of 2013, McDonald's is valued at $90.3 billion. I won't get into the internet semantics of things you've probably seen on your Facebook feed, like that thing where it takes McDonald's worker 4 months to earn what the CEO makes in an hour or their GMO love affair. I like that. I won't get into it, but shots fired.
Yeah.
In lieu of being paid like a real artist or anyone who is employed to do service, McDonald's assures us that we will quote, be featured on screens throughout the event. Who gives a fuck about screens? As well as possibly mentioned in McDonald's social media accounts like Facebook. Possibly. They might put you on Twitter and Facebook.
Right.
We recently headlined a show at the Brooklyn venue, Babies All Right. They are by no means a DIY venue, but they are still an independent small business. The owners are people our age who used to book shows at pianos and busted their asses to open a venue of their own in Brooklyn. His whole point is they went out of their way to make sure they got paid.
Yeah.
I will go ahead and save time for any shill troll
That's
rebuttals.
Why they're not worth $90 billion.
Yeah. Are the other showcases paying you? No one is holding a gun to your head. $90 billion,
you got to not give a fuck about some indie band.
Sure.
This is true. They're not paying us.
That's on the low end.
Yeah. It's our choice to fly to Austin, play shows without sound check, and get paid nothing to a little. But hear this loud and clear. We love making music. It is what we do. And despite some of the very apparent flaws of South By, still provides a decent venue for to be heard for some people who are really there to hear new music, blah, blah, blah. It's horrifying and gross reality when one sees the true nature of corporations. Oh, is this their first time seeing that?
Their first time.
And their pathetic attempts to achieve relevance with millennials. Doritos received a lot of flack for their stage, the Doritos stage, a couple years ago. But I'm going to assume they paid Lady Gaga. Let's assume.
Where you guys at? We're on the Doritos
stage. We're at the Doritos. Oh, you lucky. I'm at the Funyuns stage. Fucking, I'm at the Funyuns stage.
Funyuns stage is out in the heat. And the
stage. Stop complaining. I'm at the Munchos stage. Do they even make Munchos anymore? How do they have
I'm
a
out,
stage?
I'm out in the parking lot with the on the Cheez-It stage.
Fucking Cheez-It
stage. We're in the parking lot.
Hey, I wish I was there.
That's
the
cheese spelled with a Z.
I'm at the Better Cheddar stage, so I wish I was at the Cheez-It stage.
Cheezittis.
I'm going to be on the Annie's. You know, graham cracker stage on the back end.
That's not so bad, actually. I wouldn't mind.
And all the black acts are on the Uncle Ben stage.
Aunt Jemima.
Uncle Ben's and Aunt Jemima. I just put the Uncle Ben's and Aunt Jemima together on the same stage.
The Ben and Jemima.
The
hour.
Cream of wheat stage. It's the cream of wheat. The cream of wheat hour. Here we go.
I'm at the generic hot sauce stage. Just hot sauce. Not even a name. Not even a brand. Just hot sauce. Fuck you. I'm at the chunky with raisins in it stage. Who the fuck eats chunky with raisins in it? Nobody.
Fucking ridiculous. You know, the problem with this is that, so this act writes this letter.
Right.
And stands on their principles.
And no one ever books them again.
Well, that's part of. Well, they'll get booked in their area.
Someone takes that spot.
But there's always going to be someone who's willing to be like, "Well, we'll do it.
Yeah,
we'll do it, boss. Yeah, we'll do it, McDonald's. We'll do it for a junior bacon cheese. We'll do it.
I'm glad you put a little slave in there. Just like, I got you, boss.
Yeah, we'll do it.
I got my banjo. I got my
we'll
little.
Do it. Are you guys making McRibs right now? No. Can you get us some? Because if you make McRibs, we'll do it.
The crowd's eating all the McRibs. You guys go dance.
Dance, monkeys. Okay.
Don't look the CEO in the eyes. There's always somebody to do
that. Not monkeys in that way. We don't want to get fired.
Comedians do it. Musicians do it. There's always someone who's willing to do it. Mm-hmm. Just willing to do it.
Well, and for some people, the exposure is somewhat valuable, but they overrate the exposure. You'll get your name on some websites. McDonald's will tweet about you. Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe they'll tweet. Or mention you on Facebook. But that gets you like 10 followers, 20 followers. It doesn't actually make a difference.
I mean, for McDonald's and a show like that, you might get a lot more than that. But is it really worth
it? Is it worth it?
But those people aren't going to like
it. Is it worth $1,000 you're going in the hole?
At least.
And the high blood pressure you're getting from all this McDonald's you're eating? Is it worth it?
Because you definitely can't bring your own food. They'd be like, what the fuck is that? Is that an actual burger? Get that shit out of here.
Go to the leftover stage. The Tupperware full of leftover stage where all the people brought their own food play and hand that shit out to the crowd.
It's ridiculous.
Succotash. My mother's recipe.
And there's always someone who's willing to take it. And they justify it. And if you say something to them, and it's which leads me to talk about this thing that Dame Dash put up, which I put on my Facebook page, which you guys can see, Randolph Terrence, on Facebook. I see how I did that.
Nice plug.
The Dame Dash was talking to this guy, and he was just talking about being a boss versus being an employee. And the guy couldn't wrap his mind around what Dame Dash was saying.
Yeah.
He literally couldn't wrap his mind around
it. I haven't seen it, but is he talking?
You
want to
watch it? You can pull it. It's long. It's like 5 minutes.
Yeah, it's really long because they get into it for a while. Like, they're yelling at the beginning, and then at first he finally sits down and goes, look, this is how it works. Yeah.
We gotta save time for Creflo Dollar.
Because the guy was saying, because Dame Dash was saying, look, if you have somebody else that's a boss, then you should be striving to own your own thing. That way you can call your own shots.
Right.
Yeah. You don't feel like going to work in the morning, you don't go to work in the morning.
Right.
When you're finished, you give mm-hmm. you give your business to your son. Why would you work at a place that you can't hire your own kid? He kept coming back to basically taking care of your family. Why would you work in a place that you can't hire your own kid to come work for you?
Well, it's an idealistic view. A lot of people just aren't equipped or capable.
I would say idealistic. I think it's an old school view. Like think about what last names are. Baker, Smith, all that stuff. That came from people doing jobs and going, okay, well, I'm a blacksmith and my father was a blacksmith and I took over my father's business and we became a family of people that made
these
blacksmiths.
So what happens when you meet a guy whose last name is Gay?
Well, his father was gay and his father before him was gay and he took over the family business of being gay. Yeah,
there was a lot of money in it. You know?
I look at it as
a
Roman bathhouses, right?
White moneyed thinking. Yeah. That's really what it is people that are like these McDonald's people. When he was saying, you know, this venue paid us, well, that's why the people that weren't running that venue aren't worth $90 billion. Because McDonald's doesn't give a fuck about you. But, they give a fuck about them.
But there's not enough to go around for literally everyone to own their thing. That's all I'm saying. It's impossible for that to actually work for every single person. That's not a thing that's possible.
He was saying to have this. You need to watch it. He was saying to have the striving of it, that you should and learn how to invest in yourself. Like the guy tried to say, well, you work for Def Jam. He was like, we didn't work for Def Jam. And the guy didn't understand. I've always understood that about a distribution deal. A distribution deal is a reciprocal relationship.
Yeah,
I have this product. Right. I can sell it. You can sell this product for me. We will both make money from this product.
Right. It's a partnership.
I don't work for you. You don't work for me. We're merely doing this together.
Yeah, it's a partnership. It's a basic
because
partnership.
We know we can mm-hmm. make more money together doing this. I can sell my own product on my own, but if I let you sell my product and you take some of my end of it, I'm willing to give you some of the end. We are going to make more money because you have a longer reach than I do.
Right.
That's all it is.
Yeah.
It's not, I don't now work for you. You have no control over my content or what I put out. If anything, you like my content when I'm putting out because you know there'd be a market for it. Right. That's why you want to sell it for me. Right.
And they came to them. It wasn't like they sought them out. Like Def Jam came to them. It's like, you have something that people like. We want in.
Yeah, we want in on it and we will take it to a bigger market and we're all going to make money.
Right.
And that's so. And the guy couldn't rap. Well, Def Jam was cutting you checks. Like, we all made money together. You know,
right?
They don't understand that. And he understands.
Yeah, he's
that
thinking
level
on a different scale.
That level of the business of it.
I mean, even if you work for someone else, you always have to always have your money working for you. Yeah. In some way, shape, or form. You don't always have to hit that club and make it rain every night. You got to put something in a CD or something, like something basic. And that's something I don't think that's really like just taught to younger kids.
Not at all.
Because my mom and my dad, they owned had a lot of businesses, owned some, failed. Eventually, they all kind of, and now it's a whole different family issue, but.
Of course.
Right? There's always one that's like, oh, I got all this money and all these side pieces.
Yeah.
You know, I'm talking about my dad at this point.
Should we edit that out?
Nope.
No.
Okay. No. He already knows. I've already sat down with him like, come on, man. Like, and this is on the record books. You can look. Even if you try to look it up, you can find it. Don't even tell me because I already know the numbers. It makes me sad.
Yeah.
But I remember just sitting down with my mom. She taught me how to do checkbooks. My brother and my sister also. We had to sit down and go through this stuff with her. And we're like, this guy just blew through almost $3 million.
How do you blow?
In 4 years? How do you do that?
What did he do? Did he buy a lot of shit?
Oh, he just bought so much dumb shit.
Yeah.
And
dumb
then just
shit.
Women after women after women after plane ticket after this after that.
Women.
And just showing out and showing out and showing out. And I'm like,
bitches.
And I was like, yo, like my parents own like a laundromat.
Big cunts.
A travel service, apartments, an arcade, you know what I mean? And all that stuff. And
so they were doing.
They were doing things, right. You know, and they didn't. And the RK was like extra revenue money from another thing, and it was. So, I understand that mindset, but.
Were you the cool kid because your parents had an arcade?
It was all right. It was actually it was pretty cool.
You got to tell your dad, cool. Like, look, Dad, I'm getting laid just because you have an arcade. You don't have to spend money on these bitches. Just get bitches that like arcades.
Well, I was in fourth grade at the time.
Well, that's perfect for you. You weren't getting laid, I guess.
I wasn't getting laid, but it was a lot of friends, a lot of quote unquote new friends showed up. Hey, yeah, how you doing, Romaine? Hey, yeah, I know you got that thing that you can turn on the thing in the back. Give us some extra free plays,
Romaine. Do you guys have a Golden Axe? Because I'd love to play some Golden Axe.
Some good old Golden Axe.
And Altered Ridiculous. Beast. Did you have Ridiculous. Altered Beast at your arcade?
I understand exactly what.
Air hockey?
Yeah, I understand what you're saying.
Yeah, my parents made us
get
run
your
it.
Own thing.
Do your own thing.
And because he told the guy was like, you know, he's a DJ. You know, he's like, you're not in charge of anything because you have a boss. And that boss can fire you. He said, could you not come into work this morning if you chose not to?
No.
Can you hire your son if you want to give your son a job? He said, you know, my son has, Dame Dash's son apparently has a restaurant. Yeah. He was like, that's his restaurant.
Okay.
It's his. Yeah. He doesn't, which,
Flame
which, by
and
the
Dames.
Way, I agree with everybody about opening restaurants. Somebody said, this is a great quote. He's like, if you ever think about opening a restaurant, take $1 million on a windy day, break it into ones. Stack it on the street corner and walk away. That's opening a restaurant. You know, he's like, but the point being that's his son's business.
Yeah.
His son saw him do it business, you know, and he now has his own thing, you know, and he was like, okay, if you like being a DJ so bad, why don't you open a radio station?
Right.
Where you can play records of your own.
I mean, isn't radio quote unquote dying anyway? Like podcasts are the thing.
That's what Dash said. He was like, now in today's thing with the internet and stuff like that,
we don't need them.
There are a lot of ways to monetize now.
Because not everybody is cut out for the risk. They like the security.
And that's what he said.
Okay.
Are you sure you didn't listen to this shit?
No, but it's obvious.
Like, he was like, you just don't want to take the risk. Yeah. You like the security of getting up and coming into this job. And you like the security.
Is that a negative, though? What did he portray it as?
For Dame Dash, yes, it is a negative.
Okay.
Because he's willing to step out on faith. And that's why he's in the position that he's in. Because he's willing to do that. And he's like, no.
I mean, look.
He's not in debt.
Look, if it wasn't for the money I have to, like, pay into paying things back from the divorce and all this other shit, like, I would be still freelancing full time now. I like, because that's where I started from. I started from freelancing, and I still do that on the side now. Whenever I can get something, oh hey, I need some graphics or whatever. Cool, I'll do some freelancing on the weekend. But I'm in a different position now than I was when I was in my early 20s freelancing and trying to pull money in that way. You know, it's very very different, very different mindset to just always have. Oh, I don't feel like going outside. And,
well,
and by the way, even if he was in debt,
yeah.
That's part of the deal.
Yeah.
That this business might fail.
Invest
I might
yourself.
Fall back. Okay, what do I do to get out of this? Dame Dash is willing to do that.
Well, that's kind of the point, though. Then if he is in debt, then it's no longer a success story.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the story of a guy doing what he wants. What it's like. Well, but we can all do what we want and be unsuccessful.
Yeah,
that takes no skill, you know.
Well, no, my point being that, like, you listen to Warren Buffett talk, he doesn't like talk to people who haven't failed,
right?
And come back for it. He doesn't like dealing with them. He's like, you don't understand what is necessary to rebuild, to have fortune, lose fortune, have fortune, lose fortune. You know, have something successful, lose it, and then rebuild again.
Yeah,
because you're going to have failures. Thing is that the thing about the security of it is. You don't want to have to do that. You don't want to have to deal with that, you know, because
some
it's scary.
Don't. Some people don't.
It's scary to do.
It is. It is.
According to Forbes, Dame Dash is worth -$2 million.
Yeah, see, so he's in debt right now.
Yeah. And okay. he's willing to make those moves for it to happen.
Yeah. And I have no doubt that he'll turn it around and come out of it with something else because he has real money and paper money. Do you understand what I mean by that? It's like the money on paper versus the money you actually have in your pocket. Because, like, who is the guy?
He's gonna be busting tables at that restaurant.
Yeah, some billionaire who's too. He does something with Oklahoma University, and he was saying how I've gained a loss of. I've made a fortune, lost a fortune 13 times. Like, you didn't lose a complete fortune. On paper, you had money.
Yeah. Well, it depends on how you define money.
You start moving in a certain level of money. You know, got money.
You got to stop and stop being stupid and not bring over the people from the bottom. Sometimes you got to leave them behind. You got to leave those people down.
Yeah.
Man, if Like, my dad, I love talking about him now. I used to never talk about him. He was, like, not my shame, but, like, stuff like this, when talking about business, I talk about him all the time because I'm like, I've watched and I've been there when we had nothing. Mm-hmm. And then I've watched them grow into this empire, you know, at seven, I held, like, 80 grand in my hand, cash. And I was like, and my mom was explaining to me, this is what, you know, this is how things work. And this is, she would break it down in front of me. And then completely lose everything and be back poor again. And then my, like, you know, unfortunately my mom had to be in a one room apartment by herself for a while because, like, yeah, we lost everything. Dad just spent everything and just lost everything. So I've seen it happen, come up and come down. So it's not easy. It's a grind. It is not easy, but it's very satisfying. And it's a lesson to learn. Like, I like my job. I want to say that just in case someone does happen to look me up. And they're like, oh, hey, Romain's talking about all this business stuff. Like, I do like my job. I like the people there, but it feels weird because my whole life was just being in my parents' stores, being in my parents' apartment, being my parents' place and fixing things up. We got to fix this up because we got new residents coming in. Like, it was always the next move. What's the next move? What's the next move? So, I mean, you got to do that.
This thing, by the way, it's according to Celebrity Net Worth, Dame Dash is -$2 million, which they say is arguably as accurate as Forbes. So there you go.
Mm-hmm. Dang.
So, I mean, you know, what's is he a winner or not?
I don't know. You know? I would be, it depends. It would be what your definition versus what my definition is. I respect it. I respect it a great deal. You know, I want to be the boss of my own thing. You know, that's all these rich, really rich motherfuckers, they're the boss of their own thing.
Yeah.
They don't talk to anybody else. You know, the most you have is deals with other really rich motherfuckers.
Right. And there are a lot of money. And there are
that's
a lot
the thing
of...
I give to Floyd Mayweather. Floyd Mayweather as a person is a shit. He's a shit of a human being. He's just not a good human being. As a fighter, he's great.
Yeah.
As a businessman, he's fucking second to none. He's fucking he knows what the fuck he's doing as a businessman.
Well, the ones you know are the ones who are successful. The ones who already, like, are famous for being rich and owning their own shit. There are plenty of people who maybe, like Dame Dash, are poor, but they don't make the headlines. So it seems like get your own shit, you get successful, but you don't hear about all the failures.
Yeah.
You don't know about the percentage of the tiny percentage of people who succeed.
Well, you also don't know about the ones who succeed and they don't talk to nobody about it.
Well, what I'm saying is the view is skewed because of that. You know, you see people who are successful, like, oh, that's just do that. All you got to do is that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, well, no, there's 0.01% of them
is that we are adults about it. So we understand the thing of, first of all, you got to have a product to sell.
Yeah.
A product that people are going to want. A thing, whatever that thing may be, that they're going to want. And you got to have capital to invest into that product.
Well, that's the thing. People, when you're saying all you got to do is kind of talk, just do this. The hardest part is being completely obscured in that conversation.
So you have to do.
And Dame Dash, being a guy who's fiercely independent, may have pushed away his cash cows like Jay-Z.
Yeah, he may have.
So his personality, maybe it put him on this path to make money, it also made him kind of an asshole.
Well, Jay-Z is there right now. He's done it.
Well, yeah.
He went the same route and he did it.
But Dame Dash is the type of dude where he may have pushed everyone away who he should have kept because his issue is his personality, you know? So, again, a lot of these people who are like strong-willed, independently minded, I'm going to make it myself, and then you push everyone away, -$2 million.
Russell Simmons and...
I don't think he pushed people away, really.
I mean, couldn't be around to do for 10 minutes.
Oh, no, Russell Simmons.
No, that's what I'm saying. Not Russell Simmons. Russell Simmons is a guy who came up, him and Rick Rubin, started some shit in a dorm room,
and built
an empire. Yeah. And he's had some misfires. Fat Farm comes to mind, which are clothes I liked. I wore the Fat Farm.
How did that die anyway? Was it because of this? When
it
he
just
split
wasn't
up?
Selling. I don't know what he did wrong. I feel like this. What made you think you could do industry? You could do fashion.
True.
Why did you feel like you were going to jump into it? Obviously, he felt strongly about it. I wore some of his clothes.
Yeah, I mean, I remember that.
Classic Americana, which I was like, yeah, it's nice.
You can still get it at TJ Maxx.
You can still get it, yeah, at TJ Maxx.
Yeah, Fat Marshalls. Remember Baby Fat? That was none. They made a whole song about that whole
thing. The Baby Fat, his ex-wife took that.
Took that.
You know? I don't know if he took it or if he just gave it to her. He was like, bitch, go away. Just gave
here,
her that.
You take some of this failure.
You know, but he's still...
You have some.
He's still... Fucking paid out the ass, yeah. You know, through Def Jam. So I mean, Jay-Z's done it. I don't know if Beyonce done it in that manner. I would assume maybe she has. I don't know. Yeah. Speaking of dollars, let's talk about $65 million for a private jet.
Creflo Dollar.
Speaking of dollars,
man of God, man of God, who needs machines to fly.
He needs a Gulfstream G650 player.
With the jet they have.
What was the movie? Tropic Thunder. Player. Player.
The
you can say
have.
What you want about Tom Cruise. That motherfucker is funny. He was all fat in that suit.
They have a 1984 jet. Old jet. Old jet was having engine problems. So now they need a new jet. Now, most of the time, you would think, I don't have the money for the new one. I'll buy the used. Right? I'll buy a 96 jet. He wants to buy a 2015 fully tricked out Pimp My Jet jet. $65 million. You could have bought a 96.
He got all the extras on his jet.
Yeah. Got exhibit going through there, too. Just, hey, we got this jet going on for Creflo Dollar.
You got the tinted windows on your jet? Yeah. You got the tinted windows on your jet? I got the tinted windows on my jet.
So no other planes can see in when he's flying.
I got the spree wells on the wheels.
I got spinners. You got spinners on your wheels. How can you put spinners on and they fold up?
Because when it's on the ground...
He's got a system in that thing, an $8,000 stereo system.
$8,000? I think you're being nice.
$80,000 stereo system.
Because he's got stereo. He's got a screen that drops down from the ceiling to show the movie. He's got a stripper pole that rises out of the thing.
Yeah. You got to hear the word of God clear.
You know what? That's what he's going to do. He's going to fly over like poor communities and just blast like the latest shit that's going on.
He's going to blast a lot of Kirk Franklin at him. Someone asked a question.
Did you hear that?
Someone asked a question.
Because he could buy.
Why am I flying in this jet? Why is he in the jet? Because the Lord has blessed me.
He's just
because
circling.
The Lord has blessed him.
He's just circling a fucking neighborhood.
And I ain't gonna leave just yet. He's not leaving yet.
Oh, glory, hallelujah.
Why is that plane circling for 3 hours? He could have bought, like, I bet Dame Dash is a jet for sale. He could have bought Dame Dash is 98.
He's going to be bumping a lot of God's property. That's what it is.
It's 98 jet. But he came on to his congregation. He was like, hey, guys, look. You know.
Here it is. I got it right here.
You know, oh, yeah, because he took the video down.
We are asking members, partners, and supporters of this ministry to assist in the undertaking of the initiative called Project G650. The mission of Project G650 is to acquire a Gulfstream G650 airplane so that Pratt's Creflo and Taffy and the World Challengers Church International can continue to blanket the globe with the gospel of grace. We are believing for 200,000 people to give contributions of $300 or more to turn this dream into reality and allow us to retire the aircraft that served us well for many years.
Uh-huh.
First of all,
he didn't even
have a jet.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That'd be my first question.
He has a jet.
He didn't hide it. He just said Project G650. Usually it's like we want to call it like the Path to Glory members fund.
The Path to Glory G650.
Just like, yeah, just we just need, ladies and gentlemen, we just need you to give a love offering from your heart.
I mean, you can trade in the old one, right? Can you get a little bit back on that one? What's the value of those?
I don't
things?
Know. An 80. An
look
80,
that
80,
up. G650.
Wait. But a G650 or the old jet?
I got a video that says it's the fundraiser. You know, the old one. Can't the 84? Like, what does that have? No resale value now. Making a way for them to. You gonna sell it to Carfax?
Well, I mean, he'd have to. First
or,
of all, he'd
Carmax.
Have to.
Carmax.
He'd have to strip the tin off, clean up the chicken bones.
Yeah. get the vacuum and get the crumbs. Get the crumbs between the seats from all the fries and shit.
This is the official video to raise funds.
In the lives of people, millions of people, in fact, who have attended churches, conferences, and crusades where Creflo Dollar Ministries has visited throughout the years.
We're about to land in Nairobi, Kenya. We'll begin the meeting crusade tonight.
As you can see, a lot of Kenyans this week.
We're still reaching, flying thousands of miles each year to change thousands of lives.
I am so determined to preach this gospel around this world because people are condemned. People are filled with guilt and
poor?
Shame.
Are they poor?
They've not come to the place of understanding what Jesus has done.
Do they not have enough money to buy a jet?
Recently, I was on my way to Australia at the invitation of Planet Shakers to minister, and we were on our way over the Pacific Ocean. And about an hour into the trip, the right engine went out.
Why were you worried? 1999, Creflo Dollar Ministries purchased a 1984 aircraft for the specific purpose of reaching the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. But on a recent trip, the 30-year-old aircraft experienced a mechanical failure.
Regular airlines fly everywhere?
Yeah, you can fly commercial.
Especially going to Hawaii, you're stretching, being able to get back.
He claims he goes places airlines don't fly.
He was about an hour and a half. Out.
Well, if airplanes don't fly there, why are there runways and airports there?
By the grace of God and the experience of a qualified flight crew, the CDM ministry team arrived safely in Australia.
Thank God.
Challenges with the aging aircraft continue.
As airplanes get older, they get less reliable.
The plane's 30 years old, and this is nothing that you, it's not like a car.
It doesn't even have HD.
Pull over on the side when something goes wrong.
It's got a laser disc player, for Christ's
sake. I knew
sake.
It was time to begin to believe God.
An 8-track player?
8-track and laser disc.
And in late 2014,
Betamax.
Taffy Dollar and the Dollar's three daughters were aboard the aircraft, set to depart London and return to the United States.
That's the Dollar Tree they just showed.
A mechanical issue caused the plane to skid off the runway and leak fuel. They were forced to evacuate.
Accidents like that end up in an explosion. But there was a grace working.
But there was a grace working.
Including the daughter that he beat up 2 years ago. We're on the plane.
They were all on
all
the plane.
All smiles and new teeth,
on
too.
On that airplane and brought my girls back home to me. You understand what I'm saying?
So I could beat them some more.
What were your girls
today,
doing in London?
The plane is permanently out of service, but the work of the ministry must go on.
Yeah, well, you got to fly on regular airlines.
On multiple continents. And our ministry stretches across television.
They have a project manager for Project G50.
Yeah.
And
meeting
the needs of people
all
Everyone's
over got a piece of this money.
So a plane is a vital part of the mission of our ministry.
So where
Can't you just
and
Skype
how
it?
Is this ministry resource used?
Skype that shit to Nairobi
next time. In the
20
years I've been here, we've flown over 4 million miles.
That's 4 million miles and well over 40 countries.
And
reaching
sure
the lost and influencing the influential, including heads of state.
How do I know that? Because
this
each of those countries has an airport.
They have airports.
Clearly, because you fly there.
Right.
Just get some connecting flights, Creflo.
And that's not all.
You don't want to take Kenya Air?
Like Liberia,
you don't trust
like that. I don't get like you walk around these villages and you're like, oh man, y'all are hungry, starving.
Affordable housing.
But I may need this jet, nigga.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, he wants to convert them so they'll pay him money, whatever.
Right. North America, Mexico, Canada.
All he's doing is expanding the business.
Ireland, Germany, France, Italy.
Nigeria, South Africa, Uganda.
Him and Dame Dash are good friends, I bet.
India.
he shared about emotions and how we should take
charge
of... All right,
Creflo, we get it. Jesus. We get it.
You know what this reminds me of? Remember that In Living Color skit? With the he's like, why you have a $6 million jet? He's like, so we can get closer to the higher power. Sometimes he can't always come down to us. We got to go up to him sometimes. And he's like, oh man, that's literally what it is. Still.
I posted on Facebook. This is how you know they all know it's a big lie, because other mega church pastors give away money. Like they're like, just pray on it, and money will show up in your account. Peter Popoff does that shit, and there's these testimonials on YouTube like, Peter, I prayed and I needed money, and there's $8,000 in my account. It's a miracle. They call it miracle money. That's literally what they call it.
Hmm.
You're not going to see Creflo get in that line because he knows they're all a bunch of fucking liars. Because if Creflo needed money, he could go stand in Peter Popoff's line. Like all those clowns that are like, I need money.
Hmm.
Except all those people are like, I'd lost my foot. I need money for a new... And he's like, I need a plane. Can I get some plane money?
A plane.
Yeah.
Mm.
So you know it's all just bullshit because God apparently gives money away, right? Unless Creflo's like, oh, Peter Popoff, he's a false minister. I'm the real deal. Just don't fly to those places. How about that?
I mean, he can't fly to those places.
Maybe God's trying to tell you to stay home more.
Yeah, he can fly. He just needs to get his ticket off Google Air like everybody else.
Yeah. Just get the app.
And just pay for some first. Like, you make enough money.
Hey, this is Creflo Dollar for Kayak. Have you tried the Kayak app? It gave me all the best prices. I got to Uganda with Kayak. Can you believe it? Fuck Travelocity. They didn't pay me to endorse them. Kayak is the way to go.
You piece of shit, man.
I'm Creflo Dollar for Kayak.
He needs to team up with Will Shatner. That's what he needs to do. Get that.
You know what he can do? This is what people do who can't afford to fly. Someone in their family starts working for the airline. Like maybe Taffy or the girl he beat up. Can go like be a baggage handler, and then they can just fly standby all over the world. Right? Just fly standby. Like I might not get on the plane because it might be full, but I think God will have a seat for me, and then he can fly standby to Australia.
Just do all red eye flights. You get a seat.
My wife Taffy's a flight attendant, so I get to fly standby. So I'm Creflo. Who are you? What's your name? I've never flown coach before. What is this? What are all these people doing around me?
Why are you touching me? Why is it so?
Oh, HD. That's tight. Nice. That's nice. You
know?
HD.
We can't fly to that airport. We need our own plane. I'm looking for that Bishop Don Juan from from American Pimp. You it ain't easy, man.
But like even on the
American Pimp soundtrack, they have all these it's like a rap album with outtakes.
Yeah.
So they have like an outtake and then they play. It's a bunch of pimps talking. And then they cut to him. He's like, it ain't easy, man. I know you think it's easy because you see me riding. I'm snake skin down to the flow, you dig. Rings and watches on fingers, you dig.
I can see
you got to work to get to this status, baby. I'm going to see you at the top.
I can see you doing that seriously, man. Actually.
No more cookies.
Charmer's daughter. Trying to keep her from eating cookies.
It ain't easy, man.
You got to be a fucking asshole to ask poor people who have come to you for help.
Yeah.
And then ask them for money.
Their money.
But look, it happens on every level. All because his level is plain level. But like there's people just around the block that's got a new Benz.
Right.
You know, the Lord wants me to go in style. And like I've sat there and in all that shit.
Yeah, because your pastor has to be the vision of perfection.
Cause it ain't easy, man.
Your suit's better. Like you're asking for this love offering. They always call it like a weird name. Like let me get this love offering. I can the Lord is showing me 10, 20 people right now that can give $50. You know,
right? And you got to be one of those because the Lord. Now the Lord is calling for you.
Right. And now you feel that guilt, the Lord is calling and all this other stuff.
Yeah.
And then what?
So
then what do you do?
It's profit. Know?
Meanwhile, this woman can't even pay her rent, her kids need to be in school, whatever, and
it doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
You convinced her that it's more important to give her money to you.
And the Lord said that it was on my heart, and I've heard it so many times in churches. The Lord had it on my heart to give. This is supposed to be my rent or my mortgage.
Yeah.
But the Lord said, I'm going to give it to you, and I'm going to be blessed threefold. And
are you?
Yeah, threefold lady. Because
it ain't easy, man.
Right?
Guilt. It's just the same guilt that makes people get into religion in the first place.
Yep.
It's just, let me make it about me.
And then when they're foreclosing on your home, and then, you're sitting there going, well, the excuse they give is, oh, you didn't have enough faith. Your faith. Your faith.
You fucked up.
Yeah, well, your
what's
faith
wrong
is
with
the
you?
Problem.
Your problem. It's you.
This is a Peter
Popoff
video.
How have you been sinning?
You had four brain tumors.
I had four brain
Peter
surgeries.
Peter Popoff.
And the proof is right here in the back of my head. I stayed in the hospital for 8 months.
Is that why
when
you have fuchsia-colored hair?
Two weeks later, my husband was killed.
So on chemicals, that's why I have four tumors.
His family wrote the military and told the military I was dead, took all my money. I just got a warrants letter for $390,000.
She just randomly got $390,000.
Everything you say in those letters is to the team from the Holy Ghost.
You say, is that going to happen to me? Yes.
Even more have had huge sums of miracle money transferred into their accounts supernaturally.
I know God is real. I know what he can do.
Every time I go to court, they throw it out. They deny it.
So therefore,
they haven't been able to take my home.
God is hurting people.
A lot of people getting the wishes and dreams that they've
had been hoping.
Because it ain't easy, man. Because you see me riding. Because I'm snakeskin down to the floor, you dig?
All this miracle money has got to be bad for the economy, though, man. The dollar ain't going to be worth shit with so much money.
That's why it's a miracle, though. Miracle.
A jewelry business on eBay. Amen. I am on my way to my multi-million dollar potential.
A lot of neck
shaking. There's somebody out there, they have a child who's been diagnosed with ADD, hyperactivity, and learning disabilities. And I believe if you anoint your child with this miracle spring water,
they sell miracle
God's
water.
Going to touch that child. Amen. He's going to buckle down. He's going to study. He's going to get straight A's.
Get better grades.
They sell a ton of that shit. Peter Popoff was exposed. You remember that movie Leap of Faith?
Really? What exposed? How could they possibly expose that?
I'm saying, remember that movie Leap of Faith with Steve Martin?
Yeah.
Where he's like they have people in the crowd getting these people's stories and then transmitting it back, and he's got an earpiece in his ear telling him all the shit. Peter Popoff, that's what it was based on. It was based on him. He got exposed for being fraudulent, and he came back. People were like, I don't care. I need some miracle money.
People like a feel good. People like.
It's fact that he was full of shit. Like he didn't. They found out. You know, they picked up on radio transmissions where people were radioing back information to him.
I'm not saying you shouldn't have hope. I'm just saying you just
Fuck hope. But this is misplaced hope. People just define hope.
No, you don't know anything about this, Mr. Atheist. You don't understand.
I don't.
The workings of the Lord.
It's so much better when you don't understand it. It's so much better.
Because you see me riding. Because I'm snakeskin down to the floor, you dig?
Yeah, there was this joint where they
rings on fingers and watches on wrists, you dig?
They would sell these handkerchiefs. They were like, yo, these handkerchiefs and this oil. And it's like, this handkerchiefs has been prayed over by all these best guys, and they had all these the same thing like Peter Popoff, all these pictures with
merch.
People. Yeah, it's all merch. Just that guys. That's all it is.
They got a merch table.
Pretty much like after their set,
like after a comedy show,
selling CDs in the back.
Yeah, I'm selling oily rags and miracle water.
Right
in the back, if you want. We prayed about it. So
I'm gonna be riding.
It's crazy money. And I remember like looking at it and like back in my young Christian days, and looking at my mom like, why isn't that kind of stuff? Well, I'm like, Mom, aren't you getting this? And she's just like, fuck, you think I'm stupid?
Well, yeah, that's
like,
what they're hoping
like,
for.
Like, I'm a Christian, but I'm stupid. But I'm like, that and a lot more made me like leave the whole thing. But, you know.
Oh, Randall's just trying to raise a daughter. Yeah, Peter Popoff, and that's the thing, they prey exclusively on people who are either dumb or desperate. And sometimes it's the same person. So someone's like, I have $100 to my name. I need all that money for my own life shit. But fucking Creflo needs a jet.
I need a jet. So, if you're trying to, because every church has the building fund, even though they have a building or they're trying to get to the next one. It's a franchise. Like for example, like the COG Church of God based out in Tennessee.
Yeah.
Like, it's all a franchise. I just bought another McDonald's. It's just going to be in a different part of town. And I want to try and raise it up. And make it the cool McDonald's to go to, not the hood one. And then buy another one somewhere else. And, you know, this one's going to have a play place this time and not, you know, and an actual drive through and all this other stuff. And you get to the next one. And before you know it, you're not buying McDonald's and working in them. You're GMing now at this point.
Well, you can go to Peter Popoff. He'll heal all your problems. He's a faith healer. He'll touch your forehead.
I mean, I could see people being a pastor or being in that just for the money. Like, it's
get your own shit.
Start
your own church.
I mean, I don't want to say fuck hope, like you said, but it's a good business. Hope is a good business to, you know.
It's a product.
Well, you sell hope.
Hope is a product.
That's why Barack Obama
and people
sold hope, but people attach their own things to hope.
Right.
But if people don't, if it doesn't work, you're like, oh, you must not bought enough hope.
Yeah.
So you got to buy more hope. No one ever thinks, well, maybe this hope sucks. Maybe I'm getting some bad shit with this hope.
Right.
They just go, I got to buy more hope. I got to go to church 2 days a week.
You
got
to stop cutting your hope with bacon soda.
Or now I got to go. Yeah, they got that fake hope. You taste it, it's all bland. Or I got to go to church 3 days a week now. I got to go 4 days a week now. I'm not doing enough on my end. That's what people are thinking. And they've been convinced to think that. So.
Yeah. And I mean, have you ever been to a church and been to an altar call?
I've never been to a church for any reason. I've delivered pizza to church.
Okay. Not even. Just for the sake of like anthropology, just go to one and just kind of sit back and you know, go to like a convention. Go to one of those like the hot days, like this Friday, Saturday service on a convention.
Right.
where they have people come up to the altar and they got people like they're literally like holding your head and pushing it back. And you're like, look, I'm
to make you fall.
Like I'm not fainting, all right?
Yeah.
You're crushing my temple
you
right
faint,
now.
Fall out, and the women they put a thing over their
towel
legs.
Over you.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so and
they injure you, so you need more healing.
Yeah.
They create the market.
Yeah. You go up. They put the oil on your head. You put your hands up. They pray over you. But while they're praying, you're like, you're really pushing down.
Right.
On my scalp.
All right. Do you just want to beat people up? Is that why you're doing this?
Maybe. But like you know, the more people fainting, the more people are like, oh my god, maybe this is working.
Yeah. I gotta get up there and faint.
Pass the offering plate 6-7 times. Love offering, give offering. What was it? Faith offering is another one. Then you got the actual offering for the church. Like they pass that thing around so many times.
Yeah.
That like that's you got to make it rain in church. You got to make it rain. You got to have big face hundreds, and you got to just like you got to ball out at church. or
I'm the most Jesus-y here yeah, in this church.
That's pretty much what it is.
It's competition. I win.
Right, you see, like the suits, like Easter is no joke. Like yeah. Convention, no yeah. joke. Some of those suits, I remember when I had to buy my own suit for once, and my mom was like, "Yeah, $250. What am I doing at 17 buying a $250 fucking right. suit?" And I had to get it tailored up after the fact for another like $80 bucks for all this other
did you
stuff.
You buy the white one?
No, I had this. I had this olive green pinstripe.
Of course you did.
Because you see me riding. Got a snake skin down to the floor, you dig?
Yep, I had that whole thing with the
it ain't easy, man.
With the collar bar and the little chain on the collar bar.
Yeah, I had
that.
The collar bar with the chain on it. And I'ma see you at the top.
And if you weren't looking right, if your line wasn't fresh, if you weren't going in there stunting, they talked about you for the whole until the next convention.
Right. Oh, you know he's going to hell.
Yeah,
you know God hates that guy.
That's important.
So you gotta. I don't like what Creflo's doing, but I've been in it long enough to understand this game. He's trying to stunt. He's trying to keep on stunting. He's got to keep on like him and 50 Cent should probably just do a collab album or something. I don't know. That it riles me up, but I get it.
Oh, you know what it is.
I get it.
I know what it is. You know what it is.
Yeah,
we've seen it enough. You know what it is.
Yeah,
cause you see me riding. It's pimp shit.
We're at hour 42.
God damn, really?
Yep.
All right.
Got to wrap up.
I guess we got to bring this home on that.
Closing time.
We hope you're closing time. I hope you guys enjoyed this. Come back on Monday. We'll be here for you guys. We want to thank Romaine for sitting in with us today.
Ooh, thank you.
Cause girl. You see me riding.
Maybe we'll have Tim.
Maybe not. Stunt. Who knows?
Maybe we'll have Russ again.
Maybe not.
Maybe Haywood.
I think maybe Haywood. People liking Haywood.
Yeah.
All right. So listen, people.
I don't see why.
I don't know why either.
God.
So come on back, people. You want to give me your stuff? Give me your social stuff.
Oh yeah, I'm on that black one on Twitter. That black the number one. All right, you'll get some weird guy. I'm noticing now. You'll get some weird guy if you actually type it all out.
Okay.
That black one, the number one. Follow Romaine and Lettuce on Facebook. We have a Facebook page. Like us, follow our stuff. And we got a show coming up Friday the 20th. The Missing
Tomorrow.
Dog Show. Yep.
Yeah.
The Missing Dog Show.
23rd, a Monday, I'll be doing the Competitive Erotic Fan Fiction, the podcast at Big Hunt, the 27th. Next Friday, I'm doing a burlesque show in D.C. I'll have all the details on my website, hopefully, by the time you hear this. And the 28th, I'll be at the D.C. Art Center with Christian Hunt's Capital Showcase. So I got three shows this week, this coming week.
So you guys can always catch us at the Draft House Friday and Saturday nights. Our little fan, Jenny.
Oh, hold on. Try
has dog. Been coming out. She's dog. Been coming out regularly. Little Jenny. Who can I turn to who didn't get peed on by an adult? She told me that. She got peed on by a child.
Okay. So. Okay, that's different.
Feel better about that. So you guys can always catch us on Friday and Saturday nights, and we'll be letting you know when we got other stuff coming up. I'm Randolph Terrence.
I'm Andy Klein.
I'm Romaine Walters.
Come on back with us on Monday because we're three guys on, and we are out. Goodbye to all my friends at home. Goodbye to people I've trusted.